Good morning. My name is Keith Nethery, Rector of St. James Westminster Anglican Church. Welcome to this service of worship. It is an honor and privilege to have you with us. I'll be leading the ministry of the word this morning. As usual, we have a considerable music team working off-site with all kinds of wonderful technology to provide music for us. Steve Hollowitz is our music director and leads the team. Also participating today, Victoria Piovison, Katie Clark, and Adam Corrigan Hollowitz. And of course, manning the controls, the lifeline of the ship, John Gardy, our sound technician. Take a moment. Still your hearts. Calm your mind. Put aside all of the stuff that has gone on this week. Come into God's presence. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from the letter to the Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and is so saved. The scripture says no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind had ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I want to continue what I started last week as we are moving through the Gospel according to Matthew. Last week we heard the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I spoke about whether we need to see that as an actual literal miracle or whether it can be a metaphor for how we do things. And talked about an argument long time ago, which was quite heated at times, some 30 years ago in the group that I was in, about which one, and I kind of argued for both and. And I think the passage today lends itself to further that discussion and to use it as another opportunity to see why it's important that we look at the scripture in so many levels to be ensured that we understand the possibilities that are presented there. So we have the story of Jesus walking on the water. But first, let's back up. What was in advance of this story? Well, of course, as I said, the feeding of the 5,000, but the story before that was the death of John the Baptist and Jesus learning of the death of his friend. Unless you're reading Luke's gospel, which puts that story in another place in the outline of the history of Jesus. Luke's gospel is the only one of the four that does not tell us the story of Jesus walking on the water. Matthew is the only one who has the story of Peter walking on the water. So you see, we have somewhat conflicting understandings. If we are to look at this in the realm of a literal story, how come Mark and John missed Peter walking on the water? They only had Jesus walking on the water. And what happened to Luke? Like, was he completely out to lunch? He missed this story. This is an important story, is it not? Why would Luke not include it at all? Well, you'll have to ask Luke if someday you have an opportunity to be in a place, in a realm where Luke is, and you can sit down for a while and have a chat. I'm sure he has a wonderful understanding. So how does this work as a literal story, and how does it work as a metaphor? Well, as a literal story, understanding the grief of the story of John the Baptist, one that Jesus loved, one that baptized Jesus, who came to an untimely and rather disturbing end. The pressure put on Jesus to be on all the time, to feed everybody, to look after everybody. And finally, he's had enough and he just has to go off and have some quiet time with God. And then he goes wandering across the water. That's the literal understanding. And Peter says, if you believe Matthew has it all right, if it's you, Jesus, just say so and I'll come to you. And he comes trotting across the water. And until that moment, when Peter realizes, I'm in the middle of a storm on a lake and I'm walking on the water and aren't I great? As soon as he realized he was walking in his own strength, he fell. So as a literal story, as a literal teaching, why doesn't Jesus get mad at him? Why doesn't Jesus say, as he said in another place to Peter, get behind me, Satan. This is a terrible sin. To not trust Jesus. It's also a terrible sin to be so pompous to go dancing across the water looking at all your friends, saying, look at me, look at how great I am. So why isn't Peter given this condemnation? That's if we look at it literally. And if we're thinking about this in a literal sense, the rest of the disciples in the boat, the most they can muster when Jesus calms the storm, when Jesus, Peter in tow, walks across the water, splashes into the boat and sits down, "Truly you are the Son of God." I don't think that's what I would have said. But what does it look like as a metaphor? And I'm dividing these into two categories of literal and metaphor. And you know that my argument, my discussion point, is to bring them all together and say it's both and. It's not either or, it's both and together, mixing together, coming to an understanding of how this all works amongst us. So COVID-19 is, again, just like last week, it is the perfect example of how we can take this as a metaphor. We were bopping along through time and space, and things were great, but we were all happy and doing things and going to concerts and going out for dinner and going on vacation, taking a cruise, and all things were good. And suddenly this little tiny virus called COVID-19 arrives on scene, and we find ourselves locked in houses. We find our anxiety levels going through the roof. We find that we are simply lost. We are losing our hope. We have figuratively left Jesus on the shore after the wonder of feeding the 5,000, and we have gone out on our own strength and are doing wonderful things. It's come unglued. And in some senses, we've completely forgotten that Jesus is even around, that God is even part of the picture. We have immediately become afraid of the storm. We've immediately hunkered down in our boat, seemingly defeated, at least limited. And then in the midst of it all, Jesus comes walking into our midst. And we figuratively say, "Just remind us of the good news. Just tell us again who you are, and we'll walk on water too." And in places and in times, we've tried to go out and change the world. And we can't understand why it isn't working. And Jesus catches us. Just like he caught Peter. And he doesn't chew us out. He just reminds us of very simple little things. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't try and stand in your own strength. Remember, I am with you always. Work together as a family. Share with everybody else. Don't lord your successes over anyone. Be humble. Be part of the team. Don't let the storms rattle you, because God is still here. As a metaphor, this is a wonderful story for us to journey with as we continue to go through COVID-19. Because we're all getting excited about the fact I can go out and I can do this, and I can go here and I can go there, and hockey's back, and basketball's back, and baseball's back, and NASCAR's back, and there's talk of, you know, maybe some small concerts and things, and maybe the church is going to reopen in September. All this wonderful stuff is going on. And what happens if, and I pray we don't, but what happens if we have a second wave? And suddenly the rug gets pulled out from under us again, and we're back being more limited. Are we going to be like Peter and just go glug into the water? Or this time are we going to remember that God is with us? The scriptures are wonderful things. and they can say so much to us. But I fear too often we try to put them into a little box. We try to make them into something that they're not supposed to be. They are God's living word to us. They're not static. They're God's living, breathing word to us, designed to strengthen us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to call us out when we're wrong. But most of all, I think, they're to build faith, to cause us to think, to ask questions, to have discussions, to have another discussion, to have another discussion, to find more evidence, to have another discussion, to listen to another opinion, to listen to another opinion, to have another discussion, and continue to grow and understand who we are. God sent us all we need in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. The Scriptures are the living, breathing Word that God gives us to help us draw closer to God. Amen. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Give shape to our prayers today. I'm going to invite your participation. They will name a petition, an idea, a thought. Leave some seconds of silence for you to fill things in. And perhaps it will motivate you after the service to go back and pray further for someone you love. Pray about something going on in your life. Pray about our world, our future. So let us pray. Lord, we pray for this world in which we live. Lord, we pray for families and friends. God, we pray for those who have died and their families. Those who are sick, those who are troubled, whose spirits are disturbed, those who are lost. Lord, we pray for ourselves. We think of ourselves when we're at that moment that Peter was. Where he was walking proudly on the water, and suddenly he began to sink in abject fear. We all know those moments. Those moments of joy. Moments of trust. Those moments of ego. And moments of fear. God, we ask you about that which is most prevalent in our hearts and minds right now, about ourselves, about somebody around us. That one thing that is on our heart and mind at this moment. And God, we give thanks, realizing that if we were to say thank you to everything for which we have been given, it would be an endless prayer. And we sum up all our prayers in the words that Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be with you, those that you love, those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.